Gentlemen, doesn't it seem appropriate that since we are a company of basically children, that we should work with as many children as we do?
Yes.
Good answer.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or tablet or phone. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 470, Theater for Kids.
We had this experience recently of doing a kids' matinee of the complete history of comedy abridged at the Sunset Cultural Center in Carmel, California, at 10 o'clock in the morning. And it, as any actor could tell you, the prospect of doing a kids' matinee for elementary school kids at 10 o'clock in the morning is just one that fills you with dread and a sense that nothing could be worse. This kids' matinee at the Sunset Cultural Center in Carmel was amazing, of the complete history of comedy abridged.
Yeah, when they what did they want? 50 minutes? 40 minutes?
45 minutes. They wanted 45 minutes.
And so when this first came up, we said, yeah, I mean, yeah, we'll take any gig. We're happy to do it.
And we were doing an evening show that night, so we were there already.
Yeah. But we were going, wow, the history of comedy of all of our shows seemed to us like the least appropriate for elementary school kids. It's the first show where we actually curse.
Yeah. And some of the humor is quite bawdy, as is much of comedy.
Yeah. But it was funny. Once we cut out the stuff that would just not be appropriate, we were left with about 45 minutes, which was perfect for kids, which we wouldn't have thought, but it rocked.
No, it totally did rock. And a long time ago, when I first joined the company, I had just been working at American Stage Festival, where I had done children's theater, grown-ups doing theater for a child audience. And I had directed hour-long versions of Shakespeare, as well as my own adaptations of fairy tales and all the shows you have to do for a children's theater. But when I joined the RSC, I was excited to join the RSC because it felt like the RSC has some aspect of that, some of the energy and the positive things that one associates with children's theater. It's kind of children's theater for grown-ups. So when I was doing the complete history of comedy abridged for these kids, I went, boy, this really does play like a kids' show. Like, for instance, there's the moment where in the second act we finally talk about, if you're talking about comedy, you got to talk about clowns. And the lights go out, and Dominic appears in a clown mask with holding a flashlight to his face in the dark, laughing evilly. And then the lights come back up. Well, when I'm doing that for grown-ups, everybody's laughing, and I move right on. But with these kids, of 600 elementary school kids, they were screaming and laughing for easily a minute, 90 seconds. And I saw some teachers out there going, please don't do that again. Please don't show me that clown face again. I went, now that's the reaction you want.
Well, and it's tribute to the Sunset Cultural Center staff. Yeah. They had done a marvelous job of preparing, I think it was it third, fourth, fifth, sixth graders?
Just three, four, five.
Three, four, five. They visit the school three times. They go in. One of their staff members goes and talks to each class. They talk about comedy, the history of comedy. They talked about the Reduced Shakespeare Company. They showed the clips of our work. So then we showed up the day before the show, and Austin and Dominic and I probably went to 10 or 15 different classrooms between the three of us and did workshops. And when we walked in, they go, Reed! Oh, Austin! Yeah. And so they completely knew who we were, which was great. And then we saw all 600 kids the day before the show. So then they were excited to see us on stage when you show up.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, a staff member goes back and does a follow-up after they've seen the show to talk about what it was like and what did they learn. And so they just do a great job.
Well, as Dominic said, the education department at the Sunset Cultural Arts Center set us up to succeed.
Yes, absolutely.
And so it was fun. And typically when we do workshops with schools, they're typically middle school or older, high school kids or colleges.
Yeah.
And this is the first time I remember working in an organized way with elementary school kids.
Yeah, because we don't write our shows for you know, children or students. They like them, and that's great. We write them to amuse ourselves, and right. maybe that says something about us, that kids love them. But
I think it says something about our approach to theater, that our bias about theater is that it should be theatrical.
Yeah, and fun and active and, you know, breaking through the fourth wall.
Right, but you guys have to notice every time you're doing one of your shows that, you know, it's always the kids. It is so fun and active and accessible to an extent that anytime it's like an audience participation or when the audience realizes, oh, we're part of this, it's always the kids who are like the first to raise their hand. Yeah. It's always the kids who are the first to yell something out, whether you want them to or not.
Right.
But
they're the first to play along.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not surprised yet. It's such a great experience. Although, yeah, I had no idea it was for third, fourth, and fifth graders.
Yeah.
I mean, wow.
But again, we would not have done that except that the Sunset Center has this program in place of artists visiting these elementary schools in the Central Coast section of California.
The other place that I think of where it was so student-oriented was the New Victory Theater in New York, where we've played twice.
Yeah.
And their mandate is to do theater for young people,
absolutely.
Whether it's elementary or... I think there was more middle school and high school students from New York City and environs. And I don't know if they visited all the schools. I know they put together a very good... What do you call it? An education packet?
Teacher's guide.
A teacher's guide about the company and the material. So those shows we did the Complete Works of William Shakespeare abridged and had to make some tweaks, but the material is not so adult oriented as the comedy show was. So that's why it was odd to me that the comedy show played so well once we took out half of the show, which was kind of adult-oriented.
Well, and the other reason that it was surprising, pleasantly so, is that a comedy is not a subject that is taught in schools. So it wouldn't seem to lend itself so readily to an academic setting. And yet, it did both in the classroom and on the stage. I mean, because on stage, it's kind of conceived as three guys explaining. So there is a lot of being on stage explaining like teachers, so in that sense it's very familiar. But I do remember one of the great things about children's theater, the biggest lesson I've always taken away from it is that if you can keep an audience of 500 kids quiet and engaged, you are really doing something, because if they're bored, they will not give you the benefit of the doubt. They will start talking and sneezing and getting out of grown-ups will sit there politely until intermission and leave. Kids will let you know that they're bored right away.
Keep 500 or 600 elementary school children engaged. How hard is that? Ask any elementary school teacher.
Oh,
how do you try to keep the attention of 25 or 35 kids? It's hard.
Oh my God! And I had a new appreciation for elementary school teachers just spending my 5 half-hour shifts in these classes. Elementary school teachers, all teachers, are heroes. I newly discovered that.
It was fun to walk into all the different classrooms and see all the different styles of teachers.
Yeah.
Like there was this one teacher who was super strict.
Yeah.
Right, and the classroom was pristine. You know, and then another teacher was sort of like, you know, Lucy, and you know, and the classroom isn't quite as organized, you know, and so the kids are more relaxed, and you know, all the different styles work, but it was fun to see how it all played.
Hey, this is John Glazer from Neon Joe Werewolf Hunter, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? Right now, the best place to RSC us is online on Facebook and Twitter, where we're very active and we enjoy going back and forth with fans. In terms of RSCing us in person, we have no performances left in 2015, but we'll pick up again in January with performances of The Complete History of Comedy Abridged and The Complete History of America Abridged in Ohio, Michigan, and Georgia. We'll be posting online more 2016 dates in the new year, and of course in April and May of 2016, we'll perform the official RSC premiere of William Shakespeare's long-lost first play Abridged at the Folger Shakespeare Theater in Washington, D.C. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office, venue, and ticket information.
Reed, could you explain what sort of exercises we did in the workshops with these elementary school kids?
Yeah. Well, first of all, we were doing it in the classroom, so there tended not to be a lot of room.
Right.
Generally, we would do a workshop on stage or in a rehearsal room or a gymnasium, but we were in the classrooms with desks around, so that was a bit of a challenge. You know, we would do a little physical warm-up. We talk about why actors do that. I remember one exercise we did was a very simple theater exercise, one person walking at a time. So we'd get four students up, and they're all standing still, and one starts to walk. And the person who starts to walk will continue to walk until they become aware that a second student is walking. And then the second person starts, the first person will stop walking. The second person will walk until they're aware that the third person is walking, and so on. And then just talking about how that relates to stage, that when it's your moment, you need to take it. Yeah. Take it strongly. When it's not your moment, you yield it. And it's listening with your ears, watching with your eyes, feeling the floor, somebody else walking. Yeah. And they really seemed to enjoy that.
Yeah, I remember that we also did tongue twisters, and a lot of them kind of already knew some tongue twisters, which was really fun. And then they always get, you know, you can do some of the dirty ones where they're almost going to say something. And in fact, there was one kid in one of them who said it in Spanish, said a tongue twister in Spanish, and his teacher went, "What are you saying? And did you just say?" And he knew what he was saying. He was making a Spanish pun.
Right.
You know, where
so he didn't say anything.
He didn't say anything bad, but the teacher knew that he knew that he was making a pun.
So it was like a mother pheasant plucker.
Yes, mother pheasant plucker. Exactly right. Yeah. And the other fun thing was, I think we did, at least I did, of some... a thing that you do, Reed, called stupid human tricks. You know, what do you do? What can you do with your face? What shapes can your face make? And so it was great to see kind of reserved kids kind of just stretching your face and contorting their lips or something. You know, can you stick out your tongue and touch your nose? You know, can you fold over your tongue? Can you do the taco, which is you fold your like that, as everybody can see Dan doing right now. Yeah, that exactly. Can you twist it? Can you twist it in a curlicue? It was great to see again kids getting into their bodies and kind of out of their inhibitions, I guess.
Yeah. Another thing we did, which because the students were so well prepared, we didn't need to, but past experiences told us it's very good if we can show the students clips of our work.
Yeah.
And so we did bring some clips that they hadn't seen. And, you know, that just sort of gives you credibility that you're not just these old guys coming in and talking about, well, who are these guys? And you go, oh, I see, they're funny. Oh, they know what they're doing.
Yeah. Oh, they're on YouTube. They must be famous.
Yes.
and now we are doing the ultimate Christmas show, Abridged, which is another show that seems specific, would be well geared towards kids. Last night we had our first show, Reason My First Show in 3 years of the Ultimate Christmas Show, and Dan, your first performance of it in over 4 years, am I right?
That's correct.
Yes,
and it went better than it had any right to, but the audience was made up of college students, but also old people and little kids, and it was great. The little kids, as you said, Dan, were eager to participate in the 12 Days of Christmas when we ask audience members what they want for Christmas. It's great when kids come to see the show and enjoy it, but it's also great when I think generations come together to see.
Well, I think that's a nice thing about our show, is generations is a good way to put it. And coming out, some very gray-haired folks just stopped to say, boy, I'd had a rough week, and this is just what I needed. Thank you so much. Probably people in their 70s or 80s. And then, again, school kids just stopping and saying, oh, that was great. Where are my 10 buckets of candy? It was, the 12 days of Christmas, it was 10 buckets of candy.
And, I mean, I would say wouldn't you say the majority, though, of the audience, or at least 50% were college students?
Yeah.
Right?
That makes sense.
And that's actually unusual. Even playing a college, it does tend to be much more community members. So in Maryville, Missouri, they were very good about getting the students into the show. Sometimes the students are so busy, or they think it's only intended for the general public and not themselves, or they think it's too expensive.
Well, I was surprised by how many teachers must be giving extra credit, or it was an assignment, because that's why so many of the college kids
were
there.
That's right. And in fact, we saw the kids lining up at the end of the performance to get something notarized that they had actually been there so they could get credit for being there.
Whatever works.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Comedy Podcast. Send us your classroom experiences via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also engage with us and other fans on Facebook or Twitter, and I hope you'll post reviews of this podcast on iTunes. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, child at heart Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Scott Lawson. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to John Glazer, creator, writer, and star of Neon Joe Werewolf Hunter, which aired on Adult Swim all last week. Find it where it's streaming. It's like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, but totally not. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 470 1410ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less. So much less.